It is April 4th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading videos series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The rule of holes states that when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Not Elon Musk. He is being sued in a $258 billion racketeering lawsuit accusing him of running a pyramid scheme to support the Dogecoin, according to Reuters. CNN reports. So what does he do 2 days after April Fool's Day? He changes the bird icon on Twitter with that of Shiba Inu, an apparent nod to Dogecoin, the joke cryptocurrency that CEO Elon Musk is being sued over. And what did the cryptocurrency which Elon Musk owns do? It shot up 30%. Just keep digging, Mr. Musk, keep digging. Chicago voters, dead and alive, will head to the polls today to vote in the mayoral election. Okay, I'm kidding about the dead part, but death is an issue in the election as crime has dominated the election debate between Paul Vallis and Brandon Johnson. Vallis is leading in the latest poll of 900 Chicagoans with just less than 50% of the vote and 5% undecided. Johnson is supported by the Chicago's teachers union, while Vallis is supported by some big-time business leaders. The election is one of fear versus hope. Personally, I hope Brandon Johnson wins. I have no vote in this election, but I'm a believer in trying to address the root cause of issues, and I think he does this the best. The OCC cleared more than 1 billion contracts in a month for the first time in March 2023, the highest volume month ever for the world's largest equity derivatives clearing organization. The March volume was up 12.2% year over year. The OCC said year-to-date average daily volume through March 2023 was 46.3 million contracts, up 8.4% compared to year-to-date average daily volume through March 2022. Aventis has appointed Jonathan Dixon as Director of Regulatory Affairs, EMEA and MENA, where he will work closely with clients and industry bodies to champion regulatory effectiveness to protect them from market malfeasance, Aventis said in a statement. Dixon has more than 18 years of experience in financial services and more than 9 years of experience in trade surveillance. Before joining the firm, Dixon served as Kraken's head of trade surveillance, where he managed a surveillance team of 13, covering both the crypto spot platform and futures FCA-regulated multilateral trading facility, MTF. JP Morgan's Jamie Dimon wrote a letter to shareholders today that says the U.S. banking turmoil is not over and he sees long repercussions. Meanwhile, JP Morgan may face a not-so-funny expanded lawsuit over Jeffrey Epstein ties, Reuters reported. As for U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, she is not willing to allow contagious bank runs to develop, Reuters reported. Credit Suisse had one final annual meeting, and at the meeting, Chairman Axel Lehman apologized for not being able to stem losses for disappointing the shareholders, the Wall Street Journal reported. I am sure that made them feel better. The good news about the recent bad weather across parts of the U.S. is that the U.S. has delayed the filing deadline for taxpayers in those states, the Wall Street Journal reported. Taxpayers in parts of Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New York, and California will have extra time to file. And just for fun, another outbreak of tornadoes is threatening the U.S. Midwest and South today, the New York Times reported. Congratulations to the University of Connecticut, which won the men's NCAA basketball tournament, the fifth time the school has won it, the New York Times reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video from our FIA Boca coverage. Larry Tabb, head of market structure research, Bloomberg Intelligence, opines about SEC Chairman Gary Gensler's concerns and plans. John Lothia News interviewed Larry Tabb at the FIA International Futures Conference in Boca Raton, Florida, about the actions of SEC Chairman Gary Gensler and what he thinks about the chairman's ideas. Tabb said Chairman Gensler would like to see more vigorous competition in equities. He offered his thoughts about Gensler's suggested revisions involving order flow, tick size, execution requirements, and greater transparency. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a press release from the SEC. SEC to highlight free investor education resources during Financial Capability Month. The Securities and Exchange Commission's Office of Investor Education and Advocacy, OIEA, today announced that its theme for April's National Financial Capability Month is Investing for Everyone. All month long, SEC leadership and staff will promote the free tools and resources available on investor.gov and participate in investor education events across the country with various audiences, including students, underrepresented communities, older investors, and the military. My comment, they had me at free. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline: Can the oil and gas industry crack geothermal energy? Geothermal energy has been a neglected corner of renewable energy because of its high cost and high risk profile. Geothermal has the worst of both worlds, the exploratory risk of oil and gas and the low return profile of solar and wind. What is in it for the energy industry? Chevron, which has divested its geothermal business in 2017, is dipping its toes back in through pilot projects or early-stage exploration in California. Japan, Indonesia, others exploring geothermal include BP, Shell, Continental Resources, Chesapeake Energy, and Murphy Oil. My comment, are you ready for the next hot thing in energy? Here's a story from Bloomberg. Crypto bros ditched NFTs along with Rolexes. The richest art collectors are still on a tear, but the recent banking turmoil may change the picture. The rich are living in a different economic world. You can see that from all of the Dior handbags and Cartier watches they're buying, but it becomes even clearer when you look at all the art they're collecting. Global art sales rose to $67.8 billion in 2022, according to art economist Claire McAndrew's latest State of the Industry report for Art Basel and UBS Group AG. That marked a 3% increase from 2021, which saw a 31% rebound in sales from the pandemic-induced low point of 2020. My comment. It's as if they have stopped believing in the power of bling, real and digital. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was our top story from Friday. CoinDesk editorial, it sure looks like the U.S. is trying to kill crypto. Second was currency derivative trends from the World Federation of Exchanges April issue of Focus. Third was Bittrex crypto exchange shutters U.S. operations due to regulatory uncertainty from forecast. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times. The headline, UK watchdog orders publication of synthetic dollar LIBOR rate. Decision allows some derivatives extra 15 months to transition from tarnished benchmark. The UK financial watchdog has ordered that some LIBOR rates continue to be published beyond the original June deadline, giving market participants more time to shift away from the tainted leading benchmark. The Financial Conduct Authority said on Monday that synthetic versions of the 1, 3, and 6-month U.S. dollar LIBOR rates would continue to be published for a short period after the original June 30 cutoff point before ending for good in September 2024. Synthetic LIBOR attempts to mimic what LIBOR would have been if it had continued to exist. The next story is also from the Financial Times. The headline, Jamie Dimon says regulations stoked banking turmoil. JP Morgan chief executive uses annual shareholder letter to caution policymakers against knee-jerk responses. Jamie Dimon has criticized regulators in the wake of the banking turmoil for incentivizing banks to load up on government securities and imposing flawed stress tests. Dimon said the failure last month of Silicon Valley Bank and the Swiss government-engineered takeover of Credit Suisse risked undermining confidence in the banking industry and had prompted investors to price in greater risk of a U.S. recession. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, A kingdom built on oil now controls the world's climate progress. Sultan Al-Jaber was selected to lead COP28, the most important climate summit. He also runs the oil and gas behemoth ADNOC. In the months before the signing of the Paris Agreement, the then Crown Prince of oil-rich Abu Dhabi wondered aloud about the fate of his sheikdom at the end of the fossil fuel era. After we have loaded this last barrel of oil, are we going to feel sad? Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan asked attendees to the 2015 government summit in the United Arab Emirates. If our investment today is right, I think, dear brothers and sisters, we will celebrate that moment. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.